The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As you've been hearing, three people were arrested last night and around 30 fined when Gardaí broke up a street party in Castletroy in County Limerick. Videos on social media of the party appeared to show those involved drinking, dancing, setting off fireworks and running away from the Gardaí with complete disregard for COVID-19 regulations. The Minister for Justice, Meathies TD, Helen McEntee, joins us on the line to talk about many things, but also to give us her reaction to what happened in Limerick last evening. Minister, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
So, the scenes which scandalised everyone when they saw them unfold last evening, I mean, it was hard to avoid on social media. People were so outraged. They were spreading the images in the hopes that something would happen and something would be done.
Well, look, I mean, what happened last night shouldn't have happened. And I want to be clear in saying that it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't be happening. And we've all been young once. I understand how extremely difficult this is for younger people. We're asking students to go to college, but to stay in their room. We're asking them to go to college, but not to socialise, not to engage with each other. But we are in the midst still, unfortunately, of a global pandemic. There is public health guidelines, there are regulations in place, and they are there for a reason. They're there to keep us safe. And that includes our younger people as well. And there might be a perception or an understanding that this does not impact younger people, which it doesn't in the same way. However, the risk is still there where our younger people are contracting COVID-19. It impacts people in different ways, but also the potential to bring that home, to spread it among their families, to spread it among their communities. It is absolutely detrimental. So I would urge our students, and, you know, again, I understand that this is very difficult, but we cannot see scenes like that happening again last night. It's very disappointing for the people who live in that area, but also for everybody else who has been trying so hard over the last year. And we are, I do firmly believe the end is in sight. I think we are, yeah. You know, we're introducing the vaccination. We're at a point now where we want, in particular this month, our numbers to continue coming down so that we can start to reopen our society. But if we continue to see scenes like this, that will not happen.
Let's get to the point of this. These are supposed to be our best and our brightest, the people who get to go to university subsidised by the state because, you know, what they pay, the registration fee, although they moan about it at $3,000 a year, the bulk of what is required to educate them is paid for by the taxpayer. And these are the best and the brightest, so-called, and yet they're doing this kind of thing. It is a slap in the face to people who never got to go to college. It's a slap in the face for the people on the front line, many of whom live around these people in Castletroy and College Court and elsewhere and are going to work in the hospitals every day. I mean, this, it's all very well to say, oh, the poor lambs, they haven't had their youth, they can't meet people, blah, 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 blah. Pretty much everyone in this jurisdiction has had to make sacrifices, and these are the privileged, and they're not prepared to make those sacrifices.
Absolutely. And I think you'll see by the response from the Gardaí last night, you had quite a number of fixed penalty notices that were issued and you had a number of people arrested. So we're not taking this lightly. The Gardaí are not taking this lightly. It's simply not acceptable and it cannot happen. Unfortunately, we are seeing numbers, particularly in the age cohort of 18 to 24, increasing in terms of positive cases. We do know that particularly where you have large gatherings, whether it's students, whether it's people living in college accommodation, or as we saw last night in these estates, there are meetings happening. It appears that, you know, a lot of smaller groups came together very quickly last night. It was broken up very quickly by the Gardaí, but it simply cannot happen. And I'm very clear in saying that it's not acceptable.
It's just that
I do accept that it's difficult.
Minister, listening to the councillors this morning on radio saying this is not new. This is a problem that's been there and it's been there for the last week particularly, but it's been there for, you know, all through last year as well, that this particular area is the location for parties.
And there have been problems throughout the year. I've spoken to the Garda Commissioner on this on a regular basis, particularly where you have universities, where you have gatherings of younger people living together. There is an increased presence of Gardaí on the ground. These type of events can happen very quickly, where large numbers appear very quickly. They are dispersed very quickly. But the approach taken by the Gardaí last night was very clear. We're not going to tolerate this. There were arrests made. There were fixed penalty notices issued. And these will have to be paid But, you know, this message needs to be sent loud and clear. We've had a number of discussions at our cabinet also, and there is a communication plan there, engaging through our social media channels, not just through our universities, but in very many different ways to get this message across to younger people. While it might not impact you in the same way, you are helping to spread this, you are bringing this back into communities, and it's absolutely detrimental. And I cannot stress that enough. We don't want to blame people or point the finger, but it's just not acceptable. And the Gardaí will act
Minister,
as they feel appropriate.
What's this? We don't want to blame people. Of course we do. These people went out partying, putting themselves in harm's way because of what is effectively a super spreader event, perhaps bringing it home to their families. Of course we want to point the fingers at them. I mean, that's why they're fined. That's why they're arrested.
What I mean is, we don't want to point the finger and say all young people are doing this. All young people are responsible for this. Those who were there last night are very clearly responsible. They shouldn't have done this. And it's important to say that these type of events, in the same way events we saw at the weekend, in the same way that we have rules in other spaces, they're not without consequence. Mm. And if you do receive a fixed penalty notice, by law, you have to pay. If not, there are further penalties. So people need to understand that it's not without consequence. Mm. What I don't want to say, though, is a sweeping comment that every young person is behaving in this way,
that,
and
Minister.
every single young person is breaking the rules.
No, and there are many young people who are looking at this in despair and figuring they won't get their lives back as soon as they'd like to because of this kind of carry-on. There's no question about that. Now, you mentioned that these kind of parties, because they are communicated by social media, they can literally appear from nowhere. Groups of people get together, although they were observed with slabs of beer yesterday, obviously in preparation for this, so it might have been anticipated. But in the Dublin situation last weekend, the Gardaí were aware that something was happening, and there did seem to be a lack of preparedness there because reinforcements had to be brought in at short notice. Were the Gardaí unprepared for what unfolded in Dublin?
Absolutely not. So the Gardaí were monitoring and became aware throughout the week that this event was being planned. And based on that, they put a policing plan in place, which meant that they had quite a significant number of Gardaí initially on the ground. They engaged with the OPW to put an operation into place to close Stephen's Green and to prevent this from spreading any further than it did. As I think time went on and the protest was planned for 2 o'clock. By 1:30, it became very clear that a large number of the crowd were agitating for civil disobedience. And this is where further support was brought in. But this plan had been put in place. Things obviously escalated very quickly when you had fireworks, but not only fireworks. Before that firework was sent into Gardaí, you had bottles, you had objects being fired constantly at the Gardaí, but they were and had a plan in place. And obviously, once things got completely out of hand, the Gardaí then moved in to try and disperse it. But you do have to manage these situations very carefully.
But here's the rub. This was an illegal gathering because we're not allowed to meet more than one other person and only then for exercise, and it's got to be within our own 5K limit. So this was an illegal gathering. Why was it allowed to happen? Why was it allowed to assemble? Why not? Were people not turned round before they arrived?
Well, if you look at this, and I think the Gardaí need to manage this in a very careful way, you have hundreds of people who potentially descend on a particular space at the same time, and it's very difficult to disperse everybody. So you do need to manage the situation, and I fully trust the Gardaí and the approach that they take, the understanding that they have of these type of protests, because, you know, what happened on Saturday was completely unacceptable. There were people there simply to cause harm and to cause disruption. We have had gatherings in the past that were peaceful, where there hasn't been that level of disruption and where Gardaí have dispersed people. But you have to allow them to manage this in the way that they know and in the way that they are trained.
It's one law for the mob and another law for somebody else. You get a group of people who are walking together, chatting together in a park, and if a guard sees them, he'll say, hang on a second, you're all too close together, you're not wearing masks or whatever it might be, move on. But the mob, there's a different rule for them.
Absolutely not. So the approach that the Gardaí have taken for this entire situation has been the four E's: engage, educate, encourage and enforce. And if you are in the park and a guard comes along and says, you shouldn't be here, it's against rules, I'm asking you to move on, an individual will move on, and that's what happens. What happened on Saturday was illegal. The Gardaí are now going through CCTV footage on our streets. A lot of camera footage, a lot of pictures were taken. We've all seen them passing around through social media. And they now have an investigation team that is going through all of that. And anybody who was there as part of this protest, there will be follow-up. So this is not without consequence. Anybody who thinks, well, I can turn up and nothing will happen. There were those who clearly were, you know, Gardaí were assaulted. Let's be clear here, Gardaí were hurt.
Yeah.
There will be charges brought for assault, but also for people attending where they shouldn't have been. And once Gardaí were able to start dispersing, they were continuously asking people, what is your reason for being here? Why are you in town? Yeah. And if people did not have a valid reason. So it's not one rule for one.
Minister, people in Ireland don't have to carry an ID because the civil liberties wouldn't have it. Therefore, you stop someone and they say, I'm just going about my business. The Gardaí have no way of identifying that person, have they?
The Gardaí have the ways in which they can identify people or which they can carry out their work. But we do know that a number of arrests have been made and that there will be more arrests made based on the footage that they have. So if you were there at the event, the Gardaí can identify you and they can follow through on that. So I have to stress, this is not without consequence. If you turn up to one of these events, it is an illegal gathering, and in particular those who are charged with and who were very clearly there to cause harm and to cause hurt to other people. There are consequences, and people need to know that these are not without consequence.
Now, Neil Richmond has been calling for the banning of a protest, which it appears is planned for Cork next weekend. How can you ban something that's already illegal?
So the Gardaí are constantly monitoring these situations. They're monitoring what's happening on social media, and they are essentially trying to preempt what may or may not happen. It's then up to the Gardaí to put a policing plan in place to try and respond in the most appropriate and the most effective way. The message that I'm sending very clearly, but the Gardaí are sending very clearly, whether it's an event that may or may not be happening this weekend, whether it's any other event in the future, is that it is illegal. We do have mechanisms, whether it's street footage, whether it's camera phones, whether it's Gardaí at these events themselves, to identify people who are there. And we've seen not just from last weekend, but
okay,
a huge
but that's
amount
after
of work
the
that
horse,
was done last
the horse
weekend.
Has now bolted. The civil disturbance takes place and Gardaí have been injured. So now we're combing through stuff. I'm asking you, is there anything that preemptively they can do to stop these gatherings from assembling in the first place? Do the Gardaí have the powers? Do they have the resources? Will you provide the resources to the Gardaí to actually stop the gatherings taking place?
Whatever resources the Gardaí need, I don't think it's an issue of resources or me as minister providing them with more resources. They have a mechanism, they have a policing plan that they can put in place to try and deal with these sorts of situations. But if you take Dublin, for example, you're potentially talking about closing down the entire city to stop people, because these type of events, these type of gatherings, these numbers, they come together very quickly. So it's important that the Gardaí can manage them, that they have a plan in place should things get out of hand. But, you know, it's deterring
people from going there
in the first instance by stressing that this is not without consequence.
Yeah, but you talk about closing down the city. There's nothing open. The coffee shops are about the only thing that's open. The stores aren't open. You know, so there's not much to close down, to be quite honest. So if you say we're closing down Dublin City for the afternoon, so be it. Or Cork is even smaller. Same business.
I think you need to act with proportionality here, and you have to make sure that the Gardaí are able to enforce the plan that they have. It's not the easiest thing to close down an entire city where you do have elements of it that are open. The Gardaí did work with the OPW to close down certain streets to prevent this from moving across our entire city, to prevent it from going down Grafton Street, where we saw there was huge disruption and issues last summer with certain protests. And I think they managed, in what was a very, very difficult situation, I think they managed the situation very well with huge professionalism and huge courage. But you don't always know the number of people that may or may not turn up. You have to work in the information that you have, and you have to respond accordingly.
Yeah, but the information,
and the Gardaí always do that.
We had the Gardaí commissioner claiming the hard left were involved. Then he had to backtrack on that. Then you were saying Republican elements. I mean, this was supposed to be, you know, warned through social media exactly who was involved, and you have your own suspicions, arrests have been made and so on. But there didn't seem to be a preparedness based on those immediate responses.
the Gardaí were there, so this was not a matter of having to call in extra reinforcements. The policing plan had been put in place as it escalated, and you can predict or try and predict the type of people that will arrive based on the groups that are talking on social media, based on the groups that you know are organising this. However, you don't know how the situation is going to unfold. So the Gardaí need to introduce a graduated policing response based on a plan that they prepare and had prepared for the weekend just gone by. As things escalated, they responded in the way that I feel was appropriate. I think they responded in an extremely professional manner. And there are many people now who, you know, as we've seen, there have been arrests, yeah. There will be prosecutions, and Gardaí are still working on that. But it is very difficult to fully comprehend, you know, what number of people are going to arrive, what type of a situation we're going to have. But I cannot stress enough, it is not without consequence. If you come to these type of events, if you organise them, there are consequences. It is against the law.
A number of people are commenting on Limerick last night and your remarks there. One says they had an outbreak of COVID in UL. There were supposed to be nightly patrols to stop all of this happening. I mean, another one wants to know, what should UL do? Because these are students attending UL, and they had their outbreak there because it was partly central within the student accommodation. I mean, what responsibility does the college have?
The college, and it's not just UL, but all of our colleges are working with and engaging not just with the Department of Education and Higher Education, but also the Gardaí, to make sure that the college grounds are safe, but also that these type of issues can be addressed. I mean, the very clear government guidance for our universities is that students should be taking classes online, so there shouldn't be any mixing of students on the college campus, which obviously could cause problems. The issue here is obviously where students are living together, where they are gathering together. I know all of our universities have been very clear in their messaging, in their communication, and we've seen in some instances where, you know, situations have gone even further, and where students have been expelled, or where students have been suspended from college. So that is a matter for the universities, but there is constant engagement between our departments with an Garda Síochána to try and get this message across. It's not okay, but not it's against the law, these type of gatherings. You know, it's not just our younger people. There are other types of gatherings that are happening like this in homes, and Gardaí are responding. We introduced legislation last year where it is now an offence to not just attend these gatherings, but to organise them as well. And there are a lot of these type of events that are that the Gardaí are attending, and where we have fixed penalty notices and prosecutions happening as well.
Now, that brings me to another point. If someone doesn't pay the fine and they don't show up in court, then a bench warrant is issued. It won't be served under the current circumstances. Looking at the numbers, so many bench warrants not served on people. What are you going to do about that?
Well, I think the difficulties in relation to the execution of warrants, and this includes bench warrants, and I know we saw figures during the week, this is a long-standing issue. It's not necessarily COVID-related or related to our own policing service. This happens around the world. You have persons who are actively seeking to evade detection, so to speak, and sometimes where you have limited information available to try and support that. But the Gardaí are doing their job, I believe. I think with COVID-19 at the moment, there's a huge amount of resources that are being directed to try and make sure that we can enforce these regulations, but also to keep people safe. So, you know, Gardaí are doing everything that they can to make sure that these bench warrants are enforced. We don't have all of the figures coming in.
Tens of thousands of them. And looking at the numbers which appeared in that report, I mean, some of them go back to 1969, you know, and are still active in theory. One of the biggest areas, Dublin's North Inner City, has a huge percentage of those unenforced or undelivered bench warrants. I mean, there is something very wrong with our system. It just needs radical reform, because you can't go on like this, not bringing people to book for offences they've committed.
No, but this is a problem, and I've looked at this across not just in Ireland but throughout Europe, and this is a problem where you have people who are actively seeking to evade detection, and you know, the Gardaí can only do their best here. How, you know, if there are ways that this system can be improved, we're constantly engaging with the Gardaí to update our legislation, to update our policies, to make sure that they can do their job properly. and if there's a way that we can improve this. But this is a long-standing problem that doesn't just exist in Ireland. It exists everywhere else in every other policing service. And at the moment, because of COVID-19, because of the huge amount of resources that are required to enforce the regulations that we have in place to keep people safe, to be on our roads, out and about, it is potentially exasperating the situation.
A couple of quick things. The situation we found ourselves in because of the drafting of the law about identifying children in court cases and the perpetrators of crimes against children, we know that a child who's been killed by a perpetrator, that because of the law, the perpetrator cannot be identified, even though the child is now deceased and even though the parents of that child might be crying out for an identification. You're in the throes of changing that, but how long will it take before that is a change in the law which would be welcomed by one and all?
I hope that this will be done by the end of the month. So I really want to thank all of my colleagues, because I've worked with Senator McDougall, who is bringing this bill through the Seanad, but also Deputy O'Callaghan and all members of the Dáil and Seanad. We've passed through initial stages in the Seanad this week. I hope to take it in the Dáil next week. And then following on from that, it will be introduced. This is a really important piece of legislation for me. I want to see this changed. We cannot have parents standing on the steps of court, not able to talk about their children, not able to remember them in the way that they want to. And we need to make sure, and I'm making sure, that this is going to be changed as quickly as possible, and I hope by the end of this month.
Yeah, everything seems to take time, though. The quarantine regime, we talked to the aforementioned Neil Richmond the other day. He told us that it would be 10 days, which brought us to, I think, the 11th of March, that the system would be up and running. Is that your understanding of the quarantine situation? The 11th of March, it'll be up and running?
So I don't have an exact date, but yes, it will be soon. It's passed through the Dáil, the Seanad. It will now be signed by the President. There may be a short period for I suppose, measures to be introduced, but it will be happening in a very short space of time, yes.
Yeah, and the Gardaí won't be involved in transporting people to these hotels, though they say they don't want to do it, and they only want to be called in case of trouble. They won't be on permanent duty at these locations.
Firstly, just to clarify, the Gardaí have not informed us that they don't want to do anything. The reason that this legislation has been introduced as public health legislation is that the basis and the legal basis that we can actually keep people in these quarantines is that they are potentially a threat to public health, not because they are criminals. So the legislation has been introduced in this way. The Gardaí will, of course, and you look at the fact that it's currently against the law to not wear a face mask in a shop. We don't have Gardaí stationed outside every single shop. However, if there's a problem, if a shopkeeper calls the Gardaí, they are there on hand, and if somebody breaks the rules. So if somebody refuses to go into quarantine, if they leave quarantine, which would then essentially be them breaking the law, the Gardaí will be there and they will be on hand 100% to support the enforcement.
The reason I said that is not because I was making it up. I read a report in the Irish Times yesterday which read, senior Gardaí management have informed the government that the force should not be on site at the facilities and should not have a role in escorting passengers from planes and ports to the hotels.
I'm in constant contact with the Commissioner and with his team, and we're constantly working on how we can implement legislation, how we can implement these policies. It has not been said to me directly, so I can only say that this is not something that has been relayed back to me.
The Commissioner hasn't said it to you, although it does say they're senior management in the Gardaí. Finally, Minister, I have to ask you, it's kind of a personal question, but I hope you don't mind. You were Minister for Justice, but you were going to have a baby. Congratulations. That'll be happening. And, you know, you will need and deserve your time with your baby. But the Constitution, it appears, does not allow that to happen. Now, I find it bizarre that a right that every other woman in the state would have to take their time off and be with their baby, and that would be, you know, would have to be given by their employer, but it doesn't have to be in your case.
Well, look, I appreciate people want to know maybe what is happening here, and I do want to take time. I do want to take time off with my baby, as you've said. I'm working with colleagues at the moment to try and, I would say, finalise how that will work and what that will look like. But you're right, there are still changes beyond potentially me taking time off that will need to happen to make sure that not just future ministers, but TDs and senators are able to properly take time. We have a wonderful constitution. solution, but it can be restrictive in terms of being able to change it and do that quickly. So that's something that we need to look at further down the line. But I will outline hopefully what I intend to do very shortly, and I'm just finalising and working with colleagues to try and put that in place.
I'm just wondering that it must be the case from time to time that cabinet ministers are indisposed and they don't get stripped of their office, nor does the Taoiseach take on their tasks. You know, a junior minister or whatever steps in and officials do the bits and pieces, and then the person recovers from their flu or whatever and they're back at their desk. I know 6 months is a more protracted version of that, and you will not be indisposed. You'll simply be bonding with baby and all the rest of it. But it would seem anomalous that we'd have to have a constitutional referendum or something to put this right.
Well, look, I suppose we have a number of issues that need to be looked at, but in particular around voting, where there is absolutely no ability other than a pair, which is where another TD from an opposing vote agrees to essentially pair with a TD. So whether that's somebody who's on maternity leave, whether that's somebody who's ill, whether that's somebody who can't be there, but it's not an official mechanism or an official process for maternity leave or for sick leave. So there are a number of things to look at that don't just impact on somebody who's having a baby, but that, you know, we need to potentially look at in the future. My colleague has brought forward a piece of legislation to try and deal with this, Jennifer Carol McNeill, and I think we need to really put a plan in place to make sure that we're not talking about this in a number of years' time and no change hasn't happened at that stage.
All right. Well, Minister, I wish you all the best in your endeavours, both professionally and personally. Thank you very much for joining us, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee.